Big Fluff.
Lady, the red, white, and blue's about to turn you black and blue.
Wonder Woman, stop her!
Batman?
Princess.
Are you all right, Steve?
I am now that you're here, Angel. Isn't she terrific? Have to say, being a secret agent is a cinch when you've got a super-powered girlfriend.
I wouldn't know.
Hobo Radio, the official podcast of HoboTrashCan.com. You can share your thoughts on the show anytime by emailing Joel at MurphysLaw@HoboTrashCan.com.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to Hobo Radio. So stay tuned.
And now, two guys with worse jokes than me. Joel Murphy and Lars.
Hello again. I'm Joel Murphy. This is Hobo Radio. And with me, as always, Lars Periwinkle.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm great.
Cool, man. I guess we'll catch...
Yeah,
we'll
that was
catch
it.
Up next week.
Yeah, keep in touch. Have a great
K-I-T.
Summer. Have a great summer.
Stay cool, K-E-W-L.
Oh, man. I might have mentioned this on the show before. Every once in a while, I get tempted to go through my high school yearbook and just call all the numbers. No, I just want to call all the phone numbers.
Oh, that won't even work because there's not enough digits.
Oh, that's true. Because we went to, it was just you, me, and Alexander Graham Bell all went to high school
that's
together.
Right. Operator, I'm looking for Klondike 726. Is that a, I don't know. This girl said that, but if we're both 40.
Her name was Jenny. And I believe her number was 867-5309.
So many references the person to your left is not getting.
Yeah, well, that's fine because she's too polite. If we never introduce her, I don't have to hear that she doesn't get these references.
Oh, she won't be able to make you feel old. So yeah. With us today is a talented artist and a returning podcast guest. And her name is Molly.
I just
Hi,
woke
Molly.
Up.
She did.
Oh.
I'm so tired, you guys.
She's really bringing the energy. Wait. So she's just going to tear down any kind of rhythm that anyone else builds on the show.
No, I'm going to try to be real punchy and be fun. But you guys, I'm so tired.
Sorry to interrupt everyone. I just want to remind you all that I'm very tired.
And that's everyone that's on the show, so I guess we can just move right
ahead. The worst, if we didn't introduce Marty, he would just stay on.
No, I know. He totally would. No, the worst thing you can do on the show is politely wait for your turn to talk, because then it just gets really amusing. He's still making faces because he still hasn't been officially introduced, which reminds me, Molly, there was this thing we were going to talk about.
Does the note that says, fuck you, is that meant for Joel or me?
Oh, wait, now he's drawing a picture. Oh, I think it's me fucking you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yep, you got that right. Everyone knows on the bottom.
Started from the bottom, now you're here.
Did you also just wake up?
No, but, I would tell you what I did today, but you wouldn't believe me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a teaser for next week, or are you really not going to tell us?
I don't know. I don't know if I should. It was a secret project. I was involved in a secret project.
A secret project for whom? Any, by the way, Marty McGuire, everyone.
Hey, what's up, Marty?
Oh, hey, everybody. I didn't see you there.
How's it going?
It's going great. I'm not sleepy.
Marty, just to catch you up, Joel is apparently a government spook.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Yeah.
Not to be confused with like a Halloween spook. Those are the two kinds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not a Dracula. He's not a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
He's
not a disembodied spirit or a poltergeist.
No. He works for the. Are you the agent that's assigned to spy on me on all my devices?
No, but he's a nice guy. We see each other in the break room.
Oh, thank God.
How's he holding up?
I mean, he said he has to look at a lot of dolphin porn. I don't even know what that means, but like, I guess that's part of his job monitoring Lars.
When you search sexy plus blow plus hole.
There's some images that come up.
He said he'd been spending a lot of time at so long and thanks for all the fish.com. Is that?
I thought I would get better results by adding wet. Same results.
I'm just disappointed that this is the way that you have to learn about your friend, Joel. You could just ask Lars. The two of you are friends.
No, I will tell you my porn search history for sure. I have keywords.
I mean, we used to be roommates. This is not news to me.
I would just do it in the living room. What you watching there, buddy? And it's me just, oh, it's a bunch of porn. The free seat next to me if you want to join in on this.
I didn't.
Porn's paid for.
You know what's nice about that, by the way, that riff, Marty, is that you, even in this ridiculous scenario where Lars is looking at dolphin porn, I like that he's paying for it. That's good that he's not just like bootlegging tube site dolphin porn.
No, I was going to the one with ads.
That's good.
He'd already watched the ads, so it was time for the good stuff.
No, you gotta support the creators. You know, those underwater cameras can't be cheap.
No, they're very expensive. Just like the IMAX cameras.
Do they make IMAX porn?
Oh God.
Somebody must. Well, then again, like you said, those are expensive cameras.
Yeah. Plus, like when you say they, I just imagine Christopher Nolan. I imagine that he's the one shooting it. It's really just confusing. What if Inception was a porn? Is that a thing?
Inception was a porn, Joel. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can lay back and enjoy the film. I mean, I guess
that's why during sex now we all go, blah!
We should all do that.
I mean, you're really going with the binary, Joel. Anything's a porn if it gets somebody off.
That's true. I guess if you're really into Joseph Gordon-Levitt and like tilting cameras, then like that was your shit.
Yeah.
That's my sex noise.
I guess it's like, is it like edging? Is that what Inception would be? In that it spent like 3/4 of the movie explaining what the movie was before paying anything off? Is that the cinematic equivalent of edging?
I think so, yeah. Because it ends right in that moment where you see the spinning top and you're like, and then it blacks out and you're like, wait a second. Wait a minute.
Where's mine? I want mine.
Yeah.
Can I have mine? You got yours.
Christopher Nolan got his.
He did.
Well, speaking of Christopher Nolan, I feel like we should talk about the big news, which is that we now know what a black hole looks like, and it's not a library with Jessica Chastain in it. So. I don't think I understood that one. But
I have to say, of all the references that you could have pulled out for the black hole picture, that one I did not get. So excuse me while I go Google what you're talking about.
it's the climax of Interstellar.
Yeah. Murph.
Oh, right.
Murph.
That's Jessica Chastain in that movie? Okay. Well, yeah. Somebody hasn't seen Interstellar, and it's this guy.
She plays Murph. You know that her character's name is Murph because it's said 8 million times in the movie.
Murph.
That wasn't Bryce Dallas Howard?
It's possible. There, it always could be.
I think it's Bryce or Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce.
Now we're complicating it by not even knowing how to pronounce the name of the woman who looks exactly like Jessica Chastain.
Guys, I just want to thank you for having the best conversation possible for somebody who is so exhausted to listen
there
to.
There it is. There it is. Just a reminder, I'm tired.
This is like my personal Alice in Wonderland tea party. I am very much the Dormouse. I'm really enjoying this.
I actually think it might have been Molly Ringwald, now that I'm thinking about it.
It was Jessica Chastain. So thank you for...
Oh, was
yeah.
it? Okay.
Reprising her role as Molly Ringwald.
You know that it was Jessica Chastain because if it was Bryce Dallas Howard, then Clint Howard would have played the black hole.
Oh man, that is what you see when you pass the event horizon. That's the first thing you see is that mug. Welcome.
I don't know. Does anyone have anything smart to say about the black hole? I felt like we should bring it up, but
I don't have anything smart, but I will pass along my favorite thing I've seen said about it, which is my friend Aaron is a super smart individual. He's a doctor of microbiology. He does super important research about immunology and HIV, and decided to write today that it's a great day to be a gay scientist because this is a huge move forward in scientific studies, and you get all the memes about endless gaping black holes. So... Yep. God bless him.
Yeah, I definitely saw that someone had already superimposed the picture of the black hole into Goatsy, which is an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the best thing I saw, though, was someone took the black hole and made it the eyes of Shrek. Which
I saw the same one. Did you read the tweet where they said, I made this because I thought it would be funny, but now I think I'm about to have an anxiety
yes,
attack.
Yes, and it was like it felt sincere because looking at it, I was like, yeah, that's the natural progression of that.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
Look upon what you have done and despair.
I'm just glad it got news. Look, we took a picture of a black hole. That's a big fucking deal. It took all of the big microscopes. It took all the big microscopes. We had to throw them all up in the air at the same time.
I really don't understand how science works because that's not how I thought they did it. But wow. I thought they just...
Well, there was a lot of the talk about who did it and how they did it. And let me see if I can pull this up so I don't mess this up. But somebody was on Twitter impersonating the lady who did all of the number crunching and research to do it, which I think is pretty crap.
Yeah.
There was, and it actually took a while for folks to like confirm, like, no, okay, this is not her. Katie Bowman, or Bowman is the name, Bowman.
Now, the person taking credit for Katie Bowman's work, was it by any chance Andy Warhol? That was a joke just for Molly, but it was a good one.
No, it was actually Stan Lee from The Grave.
But no, we watched a whole documentary about
Yayoi Kusama.
Yayoi Kusama, and apparently that was a like through line in her life that Andy Warhol and other like painters of the era just came along and like she'd come up with some cool shit and they'd come to her exhibit and then like a month later it'd be like, hey, look at the Andy Warhol new thing I invented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had like three different dudes steal her shit like over the years.
It was Andy Warhol.
Yeah, you know what? That Stan Lee crap was actually, that was inaccurate. It would have been Thomas Edison.
Yeah. Yeah. But like it was like Andy Warhol, Klaus Oldenburg, who actually stole like essentially soft sculpture from her and like became famous for it. And then some other guy who I can't remember his name
became famous for stealing it or no, the other thing.
No, just
I'm the
for,
famous art thief.
Yeah. For the actual like sculpture.
Jerk.
Also, we know there's only one famous art thief and that was Pierce Brosnan in that movie.
That one. Oh, no. I almost know the name of this movie.
The Thomas Crown Affair.
Thank yeah. you.
He stole that role from Steve McQueen.
It kind of makes it super fucking meta if you if you play a thief and you're just playing a copy of that movie already. Like, it's good shit.
If you want to have a really cathartic day getting mad about terrible white men and then being like, but yay, the 90-year-old like Japanese woman gets it in the end. I highly recommend watching the Yayoi Kusama documentary on Hulu.
Apparently she's the original Etsy. She designs artistic things and then someone mass produces them for money.
Yeah, pretty much. And she's just like, I do this because I have to, because my brain doesn't work. But okay, cool. I'm just going to keep doing this because otherwise, like, I'm not going to be able to live. I'm going to go away now. Thanks for stealing my only way to thrive in this world.
That makes Andy Warhol Urban Outfitters, which actually tracks.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That answers a lot of questions.
Right?
Yeah.
So what, I'm sorry, I did this derailment, but Marty, so what happens? So someone pretended to be this woman on Twitter to what end? Like just...
Essentially, it just confused a lot of journalists who were trying to figure out, like, where do we point? It's like, we heard this person's name. Oh, maybe she has a Twitter, and, like, they just didn't check. So then for a series of a few hours, there were a bunch of, like, actual journalists trying to be like, but wait a minute, who made this? This account's like a day old, and so is the Instagram it's tied to, and so is the this and that. And so they, those all ended up being deleted when they found out that they were fake. And like, that was the extent of the drama. Just somebody decided to waste a lot of people's time in the black hole news cycle.
Nice.
It's cool. We live in a great world where people respect each other.
We also live in a great world where you can create a fake Twitter account one day prior to a news event and people will believe you, which explains a lot of everything else that happens. Like, considering how lazy our news is, this is the name of the person. That's probably them.
Just put an ad in front of it.
We live in a world where we turned our entire planet into a telescope, which is pretty rad.
Don't you go be an optimistic on this show.
That's the nicest way to look at that.
Yeah.
We did do that thing. It's pretty cool. Like, it's pretty cool. You know, it's funny how, like, that kind of stuff gets really positive attention. The full solar eclipse, the landing of Curiosity on Mars, our first picture of the black hole. But then I saw a great quote recently, from Twitter, and I'm not gonna butcher it, but this is going to be
you're gonna like mangle it with your car a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not gonna run it over completely, but I'm gonna sideswipe it. So it said being a science journalist is much harder than being a sports journalist because there aren't people who deny the existence of basketball.
Yeah,
that's what's crazy, right? Is that, like, so scientists found a way to take a photo of a black hole, something we've been trying to do for a long time, and then there are people on this planet who don't believe it's round. Like, that's what we're dealing with in the two extremes. Is like,
yeah,
it's like science I could never understand got us a photo that we're able to look at on our magical handheld devices that have all of human knowledge on it. But other people are like, I don't know. When I look out my window, it looks pretty flat.
Yeah. I saw a lot of that playing out today on Twitter as well, where it's like, scientists, here's a picture of a black hole. The world, amazing. Also, scientists, climate change is real and will be catastrophic. The world, not according to what my friend Kevin, who works at the docks, has to say.
We also, like, we're having measles outbreaks. That's a thing that's happening in 2019. Disease that we all but eradicated came back because people were like, yeah, but I don't know. Like, I know that I could get a shot that to give to my child that would prevent this, but nah.
Well, what if what the TV celebrity says is right?
Yeah, I don't know what's in there. It's this. These ingredients, these things that I have to tell you are in there. I'm telling you. Yeah.
But she used to host MTV Singled Out.
And she dated Jim Carrey, so clearly she makes good decisions.
Also, I'm tired enough to go on my 1 minute Jim Carrey rant, so I'm going to go on my 1 minute Jim Carrey rant.
Oh, yeah, let's buckle up.
I'm going to get real with this right now. Number one, I don't care about his stupid political art. It's dumb, and it sucks. But anyone who's holding him up as an icon of political, like, political rebellion because he does shitty, stupid portraits of the Trump administration, which, good for you, anyone can do that. Your art sucks. But anyone who's holding him up as an icon of political rebellion needs to take the time to also go, you are partly responsible for the anti-vax movement in this country. Answer to that. Like, if you're going to hold him up for one, you need to hold him accountable for the other. I'm really sick of this bullshit. If we're talking about Jim Carrey at all, we have to talk about all of it. He's so obnoxious on all fronts.
That's
my 1 minute Jim Carrey rant.
Alrighty then.
Thank you.
Oh no.
Do not go in there. No, but also,
all the promos for Jim and Andy look really obnoxious.
Oh God, Jim and Andy.
Oh yeah. Oh, I desperately do not want to see that.
No, every so often we talk about trying to challenge ourselves to see how far we could get into, like,
you're gonna love it. You're going to love it. I'm telling you, I was so transfixed. I think I might have told you guys about it.
You probably
did.
No, I don't want
it's
to.
It's the worst fucking thing I've ever seen.
I know.
I've never been so.
That's why we.
So happy to be so angry. Like, I'm so. In my day to day life, I think I get angry. And then I think about why am I angry? There's, like, life is okay. I got problems. I created most of them anyways. I should just deal with them. I'll find solutions. If you can't find a solution, just move on. Whatever. I've never felt so justifiably enraged.
See, and I find stuff like that sometimes where I'm like, I need an outlet. And I do know this would be one of those outlets, but I also don't know if I could actually sit there and fucking watch it because, dude.
You can't. I think you can. It's so beautiful.
You really think you're Andy Kaufman? Really? Really? Of all the people? No.
Go steal some Japanese art if you're so good at being Andy Kaufman.
Thank you, Marty.
Oh, man.
It was longer than 1 minute, but I had some shit to say.
Now, all Andys are implicated in this Japanese art theft.
By the way, I more believe that someone who stole Japanese art was inspired by the ghost of Andy Kaufman than I would believe Jim Carrey was in that movie Man on the Moon.
Like, yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, like, that drove me insane that he was like, well, you know, I was always a big fan of Andy Kaufman. He was a huge influence on me. Was he? When? When you were talking out of your butt?
Yeah, and
like, when you made Dumb and Dumber, you were really inspired by the subversive guy known for his, like, avant-garde comedy when you were, you know, making rubbery faces and flopping around. Like, I'm not bad-mouthing the gimmick. Like, it worked for Jim Carrey, but, like, don't say that that was influenced by Andy Kaufman, a guy whose comedy was nothing like that.
I'm also going to go on a micro rant that I hope will shut down quickly when everyone tells me that this has already been accomplished and society has agreed. We can't enjoy the Pet Detective movies because they are horrifically transphobic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah, it's the second one. That's the
second
only
one only exists because of the first one.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, the first
because
one
we've
for
already,
sure.
We've definitely agreed that Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, is one of the rare cases of the sequel being much funnier than the original.
Yeah. Only because they figured out that we hate his character and we want him to lose. And they gave it to us.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm never going to watch either one of those again anyway, so I'll just promise never to watch any. It's not like Chinatown where I'm like, God damn it, this is such a good movie. I'm not going to watch it, though, I guess.
But you know, it had Tone Loc in it, so it's kind of the Chinatown of 90s comedy.
Oh, well, that was it.
Fun fact, remember when Tone Loc released a song and then released a different song that had a different name that was just that song again? And we all just accepted that?
It was the same beat.
I know.
And I thought someone stole it because the first one he was saying his name was a different name. So I thought, oh, Funky Cole Medina stole this guy's song. but it wasn't.
Man. Also, I just want to go back for a second because, you know, I maligned Jenny McCarthy by pointing out that she was with Jim Carrey. And that feels unfair. That's only one guy she dated. And that we can't just go by that. She's now with Donnie Wahlberg. So I think we have to take back everything that I said, just judging her for dating Jim Carrey.
Yo, of the three Wahlbergs that we know, he is the second best Wahlberg.
Who's the best?
He has the best is the guy who makes the damn burgers.
That's true. He's definitely the best.
I can tell you that, and I hope you're listening, Ethan, and because he will be backing me up fervently, is we ate at the Wahlburgers by Fenway Park.
Humble
and
brag.
Everything about it was delicious. I had... they gave us seats at the bar. No big deal.
Oh, man.
But I'll tell you what, I got the thing they called the Wahlburger, and I got their house beer. I don't know if they make it, but it was called the Wahlburger beer or something, and both were very delicious and refreshing. I couldn't have been happier.
Do they serve a Harvey Wahl banger? Okay, here's my question though, for real. Like, so that sounded like an endorsement of Wahlburgers, so I have to ask, they paying you yet, bro?
Oh God.
Oh my God. You getting paid yet, bro? Are they paying you? Don't go out there unless you get paid, bro.
Oh, man. That's a deep cut. To go back and find that episode where we talked about the fact that Mark Wahlberg goes around asking people they paying you yet, bro.
I was really hoping because I don't know anything much about Donnie Wahlberg as a person. You know, he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of like the new kid on the block or whatever.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord. No.
But I've always really
he's
really
got the right stuff.
But I've always thought he's actually a pretty talented actor, and I thought because he seemed pretty level-headed that he would be a good influence on her, but I don't know. That it's almost like even if she came out and said, "You guys, I was wrong the whole time. Sorry about that. I'm a dumbass." You just can't unring that bell. It's over.
No.
It's over.
Because measles is making a comeback.
Yeah.
Like, the problem is happening.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good in Boomtown, though. So there's that.
It's Band of Brothers for me.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
For sure.
What a revelation.
Yeah. Plus, wasn't he in one of those Saw movies or multiple of the Saw movies? I remember him being in some Saw movies.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. A lot of Saw movies, I would watch the first 5 minutes and go, I'm confused and kind of anxious. So, no.
That's how I feel about all of the Saw previews, which is why I've never seen one of those movies.
I do give him credit for whoever went into a big like Hollywood executive's office and was like, what if Rube Goldberg was a murderer? That's fun.
But they were doing that already with the Final Destination movie.
That's
like,
true.
What if fate is Rube Goldberg?
Right.
What if you got
if
stuck?
God was Rube Goldberg?
Oh man,
well, there's
Jew the
whole
show
time. Title.
We should have known. They were right.
Did we ever get an answer to that? By the way, like, what if God was one of us?
No, Joan doesn't mention that in the song. She was just posing the question, I think.
Yeah.
I can ask her if you want.
Yeah, please do. I know Joan of Arcadia was trying to explore that, but I think it got canceled. So
she's taking a nap right now, but I'll ask her when she wakes up.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
I didn't tell you guys that I live with Joan Osborne because I live with Joan Osborne.
That's believable. I'm by it.
Yeah, we're all nodding our heads in agreement. This is on character or on brand for Lars.
Well, let me ask you.
Also the brand. Movie The Sixth Sense does not work without Donnie Wahlberg's performance at the very beginning. So that too, anyways.
Was it Donnie? Why did I think Mark Wahlberg was in The Sixth Sense?
Because you were wrong.
Oh. You were thinking of The Happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How did
we're all thinking about The Happening?
How did Mark Wahlberg become the star? How did that happen?
Martin Scorsese cast him as a stereotypical Boston asshole, and he killed it.
That is true. In a movie, somehow.
Also, oh, and you know what? Actually, it was before that. It was Paul Anderson cast him as a mindless fuck machine.
Oh, that was it, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yep, yeah. That was it.
By the way,
oh, if you want to go back, actually, Boogie you know what? It was David O. Russell. David O. Russell put him in a really good movie in Three Kings. That was the turning point. Oh. The Three Kings.
Yeah, but also I'd like to point out, since you alluded to Boogie Nights, that's the one thing that Mark Wahlberg regrets, is making Boogie Nights.
Oh, yep.
Out of everything in his life that he's done.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Yeah, he regrets making Boogie Nights.
He hopes God can forgive him.
He regrets doing the best thing he ever did.
Yeah, that's it.
God?
Yeah,
did he use the words, I hope God forgives me?
I hope God can forgive me for Boogie Nights.
Yeah. By the way,
was he just talking about the thing he regrets in his career?
No.
No,
because he was arrested on multiple occasions for harassing Asian people in Boston.
Well, he blinded an old Asian man by beating him, you know, like with his fist.
He didn't mention that. And his regret speech, he didn't mention that one.
No, it was Boogie Nights.
It's the fun porn movie that he doesn't like.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, he charged a studio a bunch of money to reshoot the scenes that Kevin Spacey was in when Michelle Williams did not. In that movie that they made together.
Scale.
Yeah. He held the production hostage to get paid.
Yeah, she's like, you know what, I'll show up for $80 a day so that, you know, you can get the serial sexual abuser out of the movie. That seems like my ethical obligation. And he was like, no, I want several million dollars to do this.
Yeah, he was like, it sounds like you can't do this without me. So anyway,
also savagely beating those immigrants.
Yeah, all of that.
There's a lot.
In real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would regret that.
Also, he made a bunch of Transformers movies. Not on the same level as beating immigrants, but definitely if you were just like, if I was rating.
You're
the
still
things,
hurting people.
Yeah, you're hurting people. Like, God's probably angry about it.
People are thinking less of you.
Did you do that, like, Daddy's Home movie where, like, Mel Gibson is his dad?
He did two of those.
Yeah.
They made two of those?
Yeah.
They sure did.
What was it? Did the second one have, like, one of those fun subtitles?
Like Daddy's Home Again?
Yeah. Like, Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home and he's bringing his Nazi memorabilia.
Daddy's Home 2. Mommy's Home.
Oh, boy.
I never saw them. I don't know what happens in them.
No, in the first Daddy's Home, it's just him and Will Ferrell. In Daddy's Home 2, their dads come home, and Will Ferrell's dad is John Lithgow. Hmm. And Mark Wahlberg's dad is Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, the only thing he hopes God forgives him for is that Beaver movie with Jodie Foster.
Yeah, no, he doesn't ask forgiveness from God anymore because he's on the right side. He told God's story, if you remember.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He did. That was how it happened.
Hey, didn't y'all have like a segment on the show or something where we just like flushed all these shitty white guys down the toilet and talked about something else?
Sure. You want to sing the theme song to that, Marty? That
segment. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, there's a bunch of shitty white guys in the world, most of them in Hollywood.
Boom,
fuck
bam,
them.
Bam.
Let's talk about something else. Whoosh, whoosh. Let's flush those white dudes.
Whoosh. There we go.
Do, do, do.
Thank you. No, we needed that. Yeah, wow. Okay, thank you. That was some negative energy.
It was my 1 minute Jim Carrey rant.
Yeah.
I was feeling really good about it.
You guys excited about Game of Thrones?
Yeah, speaking of.
That's a good transition, right?
Speaking of shitty white people. Yeah, I'm excited for Game of Thrones.
Do we think it's going to be good? I was thinking about that
absolutely
today.
Yeah. I was having this conversation with someone earlier today of like, I'm going to watch it. I'm curious. I'm not super enthusiastic about, or not, oh man, I'm so really tired. optimistic is the word I was looking for.
Right.
Like, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to some over beer conversations unpacking all of the nonsense that we're about to see in this final season.
Yes, a lot of nonsense feels like the right way to go.
And we're talking about a show that is full of magic and dragons and tits and smoke monsters being birthed. And that's not the nonsense we're talking
no.
about.
No, no, all of that is grounded in that world. You can do all mm-hmm. of that.
Mm-hmm. Talk about basic geography. How'd you get there so quick?
Yeah, basic geography, and just if they could stop having characters do completely, like, complete 180s on their personality in order to make them, like, oh, we need to go to the north now because the script says so. So, like, let's yeah. all throw reason out the window and go do
I
that.
Think we talked. I feel like we talked about this a while back on the show, but the that island scene, like in the featurette following that episode, where they have, or not the island, the lake scene where they get surrounded by all the undead. Uh-huh. In the featurette following that show, they were like, "What a great scene! We were really excited to do this." But we knew we'd have to work really hard to motivate it in the story, and it was just like you knew you were doing a bad. You did a bad job.
You worked backwards. We want to have this scene. Let's justify it.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. always a good formula for television. Right.
Although it did enable us to make one of the best videos we've ever made.
That's true.
Yeah, highly that's recommend. Fair.
Yeah.
We guys talking about porn?
No.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you go by my standard, which is, again, anything can be porn if you're looking outside the binary.
Also, outside of Lars's standard, which is anything involving dolphins. So
they're very intelligent. That's why I find them so sexy.
And playful.
Was that sapiosexual? You're attracted to intelligence?
Right.
Yeah, that's
why
exactly it. And
that?
Also, those noises. But you could remember optimism.
No, it's slowly, you know, it takes just minute by minute, everything starts firing up again.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
Good Lord.
Yeah, well look, all of us are going to watch it. That's not even a question.
Yeah.
It's not going to make any damn sense, and we will not be satisfied. But luckily, there's going to be three or four spinoffs. So awesome.
Yeah, I don't want to watch any of those. I won't watch them, but I'm committed to this thing because, one, it's the only ending we're ever getting to this series because George R. R. Martin yep. is not writing one. And
I don't blame him.
And why bother? Like, he's already told someone how it ends, so why would he finish yep. the book?
Well, and also, it's a yep. great – he's in a great position because if they do his ending and we all hate it, then he can be like, that's not my ending. They did yeah, a different ending.
He's just letting this go up to a test audience of the entire world.
Yep.
But yeah, no, he's never reading it. He's doing a victory lap in his life. And I don't even begrudge him for it. We just all need to be aware that there are no books. He hasn't written a page of the next book yet.
No, nor should he. I don't think he should write a damn word of it. Good for him.
Do you think so? There was an article that came out, and this is something that's come up before that people like. So people are saying like this is the last show that we all watched together because the argument is, you know, Netflix, like just the way we all consume media, that there won't be another show like this where we all have appointment television. You know, Sunday night, you know, you have to watch this because some jerk on the internet will just write the word Hodor until it ruins something for you. Not that that's a specific thing that happened to me exactly, but yeah, do we think
maybe,
there, yeah.
maybe, sure. Well, I don't know. I still think that came and went with Lost. I think that was the last appointment television for everyone.
And let it lie there.
Yep. Because it's still HBO and people still like, here's the thing is like you, if you know that you can watch it the next day, you're going to watch it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know you can't. No one just has HBO and doesn't have a way to record it or the app or whatever, a way to watch it after it has aired. So I don't think. That's accurate, in my opinion.
Yeah, fair enough.
Here's another big question. Are you going to watch that that new Clint Barlow series that they've greenlit for Disney Plus.
Yeah, how have we not talked about that yet here?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what? It's so funny because I've been rewatching these Avengers movies in preparation for, you know, in like 3 weeks, they simultaneously have a big battle episode, an hour and a half episode of Game of Thrones that will air the same weekend that Avengers Endgame comes out.
Endgame? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, like I was rewatching Civil War because I've been trying to rewatch these, and I love in Civil War that he comes in and his entire plan is to save Scarlet Witch by basically making her feel sorry for him because of how badly Vision is able to defeat him. And he's, because Vision's like, you know that you can't stop me, right? And he's like, yeah, no, I can't, but she can. Like, he comes to rescue her and basically by being a damsel in distress. And like, she's like, it's so pitiful watching you get owned that I should probably leave.
Yep. And but he's got that new groovy haircut. So
he's got a lot going on. He's got a haircut. He's got like one sleeve of tattoos that I want to believe is somehow Thanos related, that he's it's imbalanced. Ugh. Only half of him is tattooed.
Give me a fuck.
It'd be really great if they just didn't let him in to the Avengers Tower. Like, he shows up and they're like, we're good, but you guys, it seems like decimated, it seems like we're really low on people. Nah, it's cool.
Nah, we're fine.
Yeah, you know what, you know what, buddy, you can get in if you can unlock the door with one of them arrows. Oh, what's that? Did I make all of your arrows for you? Oh, boy. Oh, buddy.
You know what else is weird in Civil War? There's a line where Tony Stark is like, I thought you retired. And he goes, I did. I went and played golf, played 18, shot 18. And I'm still like, that's not cool. Like, is that supposed to impress us? Who cares? Like, I'm also.
Can we just
I'm
talk just about the real crime to do with poor Clint's storyline, and that is how I imagine he is only in Endgame because his family got fridged by Thanos.
Oh, for sure, that's what happened. Is he lost all of them? Definitely. Like somehow, yep. Statistic. Like he's the. I don't know if any of you watched The Leftovers, but yeah, he's Nora from The Leftovers. That like his whole family just turned to dust, and now he's paying sex workers to shoot him in the chest. I assume that's what's happening in Endgame.
Fuck, I need to revisit this series.
Dude, Leftovers is so good. You know, say what you will about Lost, but Damon Lindelof figured it out in his next show.
Are there dolphins in it?
You know, I can't say that there aren't. I don't remember them, but like, I think maybe someone goes to the beach at some point.
I would remember dolphins.
I mean, you would. So what's your favorite Treehouse of Horrors, Lars?
Drinking and night swimming. No better combination than that.
Oh, man. No, but like, yeah, he sucks. I'm sorry. Like, Clint really sucks. They have, and it's so funny to me. I know we've talked about this before, but like, Jeremy Renner has been adjacent to so many successful franchises and has always been positioned as like, he's going to be the next Jason Bourne. He's going to be the next Mission Impossible. He's in the Avengers and none of them have worked out for him. Like, he either has the best or worst agent and I can't figure out which one it is.
Well, I think I don't.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
Bro.
Well, it's like he premiered as like an Oscar nominee and like deservedly so. Like, he was fucking amazing in The Hurt Locker. And then it's just been like, all right. So
he's great in The Town.
You'll middle from now on.
No, he was great in The Hurt Locker. And then he followed that up with The Town, which he was also great in. And then someone got in his ear and was like, you need to make a franchise now. And he still hasn't really landed a franchise except the TV show where he, what? Archers in his backyard with his family. Is it like a sitcom? I would watch it if it was a sitcom of like, why don't you aim that trash at the trash can, Clint? You can't arrow your way out of parents' night, buddy.
Arrow your way.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Nick Fury's coming over for dinner tonight. And we burnt the roast.
It's going to be all slapstick about him, like Homer, when Homer gets a gun in The Simpsons, he's just having to solve everyday problems through archery.
That would be amazing.
That no one is ever impressed by.
But also, and everyone knows it's him because there's just arrows left at every scene.
Just get a gun, man. Like, if you're that good with a bow and arrow, use guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think. Because, again, it's established he can do it with golf clubs. Apparently, that skill transfers.
Look.
Well, that's arrow, been Clinton.
It seems
Martin
like your arrows
corner.
Can do different things. So, carry the bow and arrow for when you need to use that crap. But if you just need to fire projectiles at things in order to stop them, use a gun.
Also, I just want to make a callback real quick to when, for one time in one movie, that what's his name? Skarsgård just called him the Hawk. Really a fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hawk.
That one time.
The Hawk, he's up in his nest.
He never got a fair shake. He, I don't know. It's so weird how he and Natasha Romanoff are on par on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But she is totally an Avenger and he is totally lame.
Yeah, and she's been in a lot of these movies where she's just, like, seamlessly, she's in, you know, Winter Soldier, and, like, they pair her up. I mean, she had that weird romantic storyline with Bruce Banner. Like, she pops up in all the movies, and you're like, yeah, of course she's there. Why wouldn't she be there? And him, it's like he wasn't in Infinity War, and it was fun. Yeah. Didn't miss anything. Yeah, it's... Poor Clint. Or not poor Clint. I don't know. Either or. But this is, you know, we could sit here and we could have this nerdy conversation, but we have important work to do, and I think we should get to it.
Yeah, let's wrap up this Clint Barton corner and get on with business.
Well, before we can do that, I think...
No, we can already do that. We can do it. We can just do it right now. We can. Yep.
How would I know that, though, unless I asked a question? I'd have to ask everyone a question so that I could be sure that we're ready for this segment. And the only way
we're ready, Marty, are you prepared?
Marty, are you ready for this?
I would say in my soul that he did it. I need a cat version of that. Meow, 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 meow.
We just got it.
Meow, ready for this?
I'm happy about it.
All right. Well, it's all come down to this. We only have one matchup left, and that is, of course, Wonder Woman versus Gamora. And I've put some thought into this. I was trying to come up with where they should be battling. Because if you remember last year, we had a special. It was for the action movie we did. There was a... I love that you said cat version of this, and then your cat appeared.
And my cat appears. No, I am cursed.
No, you know, last year we did, it was like a plane that was crashing towards the ground, and they had to fight it out because it was the action movie thing. And so I wanted to think of something for badass women. And I, of course, thought of our friend Sarah, who helped us in the tournament early this year. And I thought the best tribute we could do is they are fighting in an abandoned roller derby rink.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's abandoned. It's still got all the roller derby stuff. And this is why we could...
Are they on roller skates?
I mean, they're not on roller skates.
They're it's on roller skates.
I guess they could...
I've made an executive decision because here's my sticking point is that we've put these environments out there and then they never utilize these environments. So what's the point?
Okay, so
roller skates.
So we, in theory, like whatever we're doing as the, you know, the gods of this world, when they materialize in this location, they just have roller skates on them already, which like... I'm for sure that Wonder Woman eats it. Like, maybe Gamora, I could believe, would be better on roller skates. But initially, when, like, the second Wonder Woman touches down, she's falling at first.
Yeah, I think so.
There's a big learning curve for Wonder Woman.
She can also fly, so I don't know how much of a factor it really is. But at least for that first second, she's eating it. I just... to try to help, but actually not help at all. So I, well, because I went to the Instagram. I went to Hobo Radio Podcast Instagram. And on our story, I posted this today of, I posted both Wonder Woman and Gamora. And I asked our followers who they thought should win. And I have results for you all. And it's 50-50.
Wow.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yep. 50-50. I don't know.
Could that have been manipulated? Like, were people able to see the results so far and, like,
as far as I know, no, as far as I know, you vote and then it gives you the results and you can only vote once from your Instagram account. So unless someone created, like, bot accounts.
I mean, this is very high stakes, so that's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've commissioned Robert Mueller to get to the bottom of this this vote hacking that has occurred.
He's not busy.
He's not now. Now he's got all the time.
Yeah, but why'd you bother? Because we'll never know the truth.
No, he'll write a huge report, and then Joel will give us a summary.
And it'll be like that.
Fox News will tell us that the real winner was us all along.
It was the friends we made along the way. The friends in Russia that we made along the way. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, she dropped her wand. I don't know.
Are you finally willing to admit that? Let's go back.
Willing to admit.
You heard it. Lars said she dropped her wand. We have to redo this. Brienne wins round one.
All right, we're just going
to... Oh, good. Let's
replay
this
that clip over and over again.
Okay, yeah. So Brienne. So then Brienne versus Alice. That's probably Brienne. And then Brienne versus Wonder Woman. That's probably Brienne. So it's probably just Brienne versus wins. Gamora, I think.
What's happening?
Why are we going to fix the brackets?
Is Brienne a fucking Tarth push?
Well, she won because the wand got dropped. And that was also the push she needed. She would be so good at roller derby, by the way. Just side note.
No, she would be horrible.
What?
She would be horrible.
What are you talking about? She'd be a blocker. Like, once she learned how to skate, which she definitely would know how to
once
do.
Once she learned how to skate, that is the critical aspect of this.
Look, I'm just saying.
She would never learn how to skate. She would need Jamie Lannister pushing her around that ring.
Oh, what a delightful story that would be.
That would be delightful.
That would be really cute. That would be really cute. That would hit, like, with one hand and his little nubbin.
I'm just picturing them couple skating now, where, like, he's the one who can roller skate backwards, you know, and, like, Endless Love is playing, and they got the little lights going, and they're just skating around.
Friends listen to Endless Love in the dark.
Nice.
But anyway, too bad. She's dead, so let's get back to Wonder Woman and Gamora.
That's true. Okay. Wonder Woman and Gamora. Yeah, so our Instagram followers seem to think it's an even match.
Thanks for nothing, Instagram.
Say that every day. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to think it's kind of an even match as well.
I don't know. I mean, is it? Because I feel like Wonder Woman is demonstrably stronger than her. I'm not saying that doesn't mean she can't overcome that, but, like, just fist fight wise, it definitely favors Wonder Woman, right? Like, she's way stronger.
I tend to agree with that, though. We haven't seen in all... In all the situations we've seen Gamora in, we don't see her take a lot of damage.
That's true. Except that one time.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if we mentioned it.
Yes, let us review again the footage of the laser blast.
And also, Wonder Woman is not gravity.
But she can fly, so she's not exactly weak against it.
Yeah. And we also know that Gamora... will die in the vacuum of space.
That's true. Yeah. So if this roller derby rink is in space.
I mean, do they have to stay inside the roller rink?
They don't have to stay anywhere.
No, this is just where we happen to put them. But women are breaking barriers all the time.
Yes. Yes, I'm just saying, like, is this their arena where the fight begins and ends in this arena? I'm assuming no.
Not necessarily.
Right. Well,
and then in that case, we need to be pretty specific about where this derby rink is.
Joel.
Yeah, are we talking downtown? Is this a suburban roller derby arena?
Cleveland.
It could be anywhere. All you need to set up a roller derby rink is a dilapidated building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, like, even if they get out of the roller derby rink, it's sort of like this, you know, failing city that's, you know, like out of abandoned, like you boarded up buildings. But they could go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if they wanted to.
Yeah. And there's a thriving microbrew industry.
Mm-hmm. And the
lots of, like, they could poison each other with cholesterol. You could throw Gamora into a burning river.
No, all the rivers are dead. Remember, we've killed them in previous rounds.
Whoa.
Wow.
Boom.
Snappy with that one.
By the way, I want to throw this out there because I randomly came across this information. Apparently, in the comics recently, Gamora killed Thanos. So, it's a boost to the abilities of one Gamora.
Huh.
So,
it is.
Yeah.
How did she kill him?
She decapitated him.
What?
That's how you do it. Because
that's
I saw.
Sick.
I read a comic where Drax punched him through his spine and pulled out his heart. And Thanos said, "That's interesting."
But yeah.
So I thought we were all fucked. Okay, he's cut off his head.
Yeah,
right on.
Yeah, she cut
right
off his head and I guess like took the Infinity Gauntlet from him and is now, well, I don't know when this storyline was from 2018, but she became a villain at that point. Like she took over as new Thanos.
Now, is the cat saying Diana or Gamora?
I think it's a 50-50 split. The cat is also
she's saying a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. Okay, so what do we know about, and I couldn't find anything on this, obviously.
Because it wasn't on Dolphin Porn website.
Yes, yes, yes. When I went into my fugue state while cranking down to Dolphin Porn, I came up with no answers to the question of, does Gamora possess a blade that would cut Wonder Woman? I don't know. What do you guys
think?
Wow,
that's some one logic exercise right there.
Could God make a boulder so heavy that even he couldn't lift it? It's the other question.
Yeah, I think this is tricky. So how do y'all feel about getting into the arguments about whether the gods that rule over, like, Wonder Woman's whole mythos are actually just really advanced aliens who seem godlike because their technology is too advanced? Because in that case,
well, let's also get into
Gamora's probably dealt with them since she was the right hand of Thanos for a while.
Well, let's also get into the idea of, so if Gamora, let's say she has a, you know, vibranium sword, okay, because that exists in her universe. Can she stab Diana Prince, who also has a sword and a shield with it? Like, can she actually beat her in a sword-to-sword combat situation?
Yeah.
And when, like, I just keep seeing in my mind the climactic moment of the Wonder Woman movie where ultimately, like, she can take any amount of punishment, catch it with her bracers and throw it back.
Yeah.
Like killing anyone and anything.
Including pasty British men who are demons or whatever, gods.
Right.
This is where I got stuck on, because both of these characters, while they're so, their abilities seem to flux a lot. They're constantly in fluctuation. They kind of like the things that they need, the powers that they need to have, they just sort of have sometimes. So I limited myself to what the movies have shown us. Same situation. I can't nail down their abilities or the limit on their powers. I can tell the one thing I'm sure of is Diana Prince can fly, and she can probably survive a long time in the vacuum of space, while Gamora cannot fly or survive in the vacuum of space.
We definitely know she can't fly. That's established in Infinity War.
Oh. Yes.
But also, yeah, well, because there is it the first Guardians where Peter Quill has to give her his mask so that she can breathe? Because she's,
Yes. Yep. So she doesn't die of exposure, but lack of oxygen. She has to breathe.
Mm-hmm. And Diana doesn't.
No, not necessarily, at least not for long periods of time.
But yeah, there's also just the possibility, and I swear I'm not just doing this to be glib, I'm just doing this to point it out, like, Diana could just, like, fly up in the air with her and then just drop her.
Yes, or fly her out of the atmosphere and leave her there.
Yeah, so those are both, like, assuming they're pretty equal in other areas, that seems like an advantage to Wonder Woman.
Well, I mean, you still have to keep a grip on somebody while you're dragging them. And there, are, I guess she has that whole rope thing.
What's that called?
Rope. Now we're just down to rope.
Yeah. I'm trying to sidestep the issue. That rope-like object that she uses to
the yellow
things.
String that she has.
I would like to
really devolving this.
I would like to bring back something that I don't think has been talked about in the editions of the tournament that I've been in, but that played very prominently in the early rounds. And that is, which of these characters seems to have the laziest writers?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, see, this is tough because even if you use Lars's logic and you only talk about the movies, Wonder Woman's the one that's well written. Like, they tried on that
most
one.
Definitely. I would go, when you talk about lazy writing, I'm going to go like Marvel over DC every time. I think Marvel has way lazier writing.
Yeah. Oh, in the comics, for sure.
If anything, I would argue that weirdly, like in early rounds, it was, okay, the lazy writers would give powers at just the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, surprise, she had it in her all along. We didn't know what it was, but now we do, because we wrote ourselves into a corner.
Yep.
For Gamora, the opposite happened. Like, Gamora's death was extremely lazy writing that took a very powerful, very self-assured character and just kind of made her break down into being a toddler in a moment that made no sense and frustrated the crap out of me.
That's how you feel about that scene? I don't agree with you about that scene.
I don't agree with that assessment at all. I can't say I disagree with your opinion, but I don't see that, honestly. I thought that was a really powerful moment where this... I thought that was, like, really... a turning point for both of those characters, to see them both torn down. And with one, she was eliminated. Like, this powerful, fully discovered character was just torn down to this little girl. And at the same time, you saw this hugely powerful, evil man actually have love, but then...
Oh, yeah.
But then completely squash it for all the wrong, stupid reasons.
And like now, Lars,
she's laughing in his
face
because
the right
you
moment.
Love nothing. Okay.
So you found the moment, the cinematic moment that you want, but you have to work backwards and write all of the damned, stupid decisions she has to make to end up in that position.
See, I don't... Yeah, I'm not agreeing with this.
Oh, you know what? Those were stupid decisions, I have to say.
What were the stupid... Okay, now this is more important than the tournament. Let's litigate Infinity War. What stupid decisions? Like, trying to track him down? Like...
She had a lot of time on Thanos' ship to go ahead and off herself. And not help him find where the Soul Stone was.
But she didn't help him find where the Soul Stone was. Didn't they get that from Nebula?
No, he tortured Nebula to get Gamora to tell him.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. For me, the only thing that it's always like, it's such a divisive moment. And the one that strikes me as lazy writing in that movie is all the Peter Quill stuff afterwards.
Like, Lord,
where it's just like, I get it, man. Like, your emotional response makes sense, but wait 10 seconds. Like, just wait long enough for them to take this thing off his hand that is 3/4 of the way off of his hand. Before punching him in the face.
If anything, yeah, I think all of those moments just serve to continue to undermine Gamora's memory. Anyway, I'm angry about it. So I don't want to see something like that happen here. So I would like to think that Gamora would not make it an easy fight. This is gonna be some dirty
fighting. No, not
at
all. Because I agree with you. You have to get her off of the surface of Northeast Ohio and into the atmosphere, and that's not an easy feat.
Yeah.
Well, there's also, is there anything to the fact, I'm just drawing a lazy parallel because I don't know what else to do at this point, but like, is there any significance to the fact that both of these characters were raised in environments where they were constantly fighting one, her adopted sister, and the other, like, just all the other women of her island, but both of them were raised like in constant like training combat with other women. I don't know what that means, but I'm just thinking it through that that's a truth of both of these characters.
Okay. But do you know what I just thought of? Is that one episode of 30 Rock where Jenna kept playing characters that went, "Oh no, my period."
The TGS hates women.
Well, there's that.
Oh no.
I don't know that that factors in, except they're both combat trained. They're both completely combat trained.
Right.
Like in big scenarios and one-on-one.
That's really
hand.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm
getting
at. And
they're both trained to like kill. Like neither one of them were trained in any sort of it wasn't fake fighting. They're both trained warriors.
Yes. Yeah, and
I can't think of a time. Now I've seen Gamora be put out of commission. I can't think of a time where I've seen Wonder Woman just laid up.
I can't in any scenario, honestly. Like even like if you go beyond live action to like, I've watched a number of those like animated movies. I've read some of the Wonder Woman comics. I've never seen her not depicted like to a point where she's just like laid out. Like, you know, Superman, there's Doomsday. Like, yeah, I can think of a comic where someone beat the shit out of Superman, but like, I'm sure there's one, but like offhand, I have trouble really thinking of like Diana Prince, like losing a fight badly.
Now, Molly, you're our resident expert on creating lesbian scenarios. You got one?
aside from them both in roller skates, which is delightful.
Oh, they do so much for the butt, the roller skates.
They do. I don't know, actually. I was actually kind of caught up in the interesting to me. I just really thinking about when Joel brought up the idea of like they both were raised in scenarios where they were trained in combat against women, Gamora with her sister with Nebula, and Wonder Woman with all the other women of Themyscira, right? Yeah. Like I was sitting there going like, that's an interesting point, but then it's also almost feels kind of null and void because there you can't like I almost want to sit there and go like, oh, is that baggage that's going to be brought into a fight between the two of them? But also that baggage almost you're trying to contextualize potential misogyny and sexism kind of culture. You're trying to bring that and contextualize it within our understanding of misogyny and sexism, which would be a completely different understanding if we're trying to put it in their worlds. Like, you can't apply that. Like, I was sitting there trying to break my own brain apart to put it into, like, well, is it the same understanding of misogyny on Themyscira? Like, what does that even mean there? Like, is that women fighting women? Because that's just the world they're in. And what does that even mean between Gamora and Nebula? So I was in a whole nother world right there.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no kidding.
And kind of being like, I don't think this logic applies to that fight, which is a weird thing to say, but like, I don't. Like, I think there's baggage that we're trying to apply because of the world we're in that doesn't actually apply between these two women fighting because it's a whole different cultural contextual understanding. Like, yeah, they grew up fighting other women, but what does that even mean in their worlds? Like, but then it's people from our world writing them, you guys.
So we know that the Lariat works.
The what?
the yellow string.
Okay. Gotcha.
It works on things that aren't human.
Mm-hmm.
How does that play into this? She gets her rope of
she ropes her with her string.
She ropes her with the string, yeah, and ties her up. Hmm. Can you break Gamora down that way?
I mean, isn't it the lariat is unbreakable, right? Like, isn't that kind of the deal that if she manages to wrap it around her, that, like, she's done, right? Like, you can't unsubdue yourself.
You have to tell the truth, but you're being... Whatever part of you isn't tied up still works.
No, but I thought, like, doesn't it have, like, a really strong tensile strength as well? Like, she can't just, like... Like, can she can't just, like, if she has a blade, cut it. Like, so forget the telling the truth, because I don't really see how that factors in. If she just wraps it around her arms and her arms are tied around her like she's been lassoed,
right?
Can she
right.
get out of that?
Probably not, but her legs still work.
Okay, but, like...
She's got strong legs.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing to say that she couldn't get out of that, whatever appendage or appendages were bound. The ones that aren't bound are still belonging to Gamora, who has strong appendages.
Does Gamora, because this is what we used the last round, how much does Gamora's likelihood to fight dirty? Now, I don't think Diana is like Leeloo in that, like, she's pure, you know, good. I think Diana's not as noble that way, but I do think she's probably more likely to be, you know, let's do this honorably, where Gamora is like, this is a street fight. So does that factor in, like, the fact that, like, Gamora probably will just be going for any cheap shot she can get, versus Wonder Woman is probably a little bit more noble in the fight, if that's the right word, you know, a little less.
She's probably a little more honor bound.
Being, that's a good, yeah,
being the warrior that she isn't trained as a warrior, but she's still trained to win a goddamn fight,
right?
But I'm with you. I think Gamora is win at all costs. There aren't any cheap shots. There are only shots that land and shots that don't.
Yeah, so I do feel like that's something to factor in. I'm just throwing out things. I don't really know where to go with any of them. But
yeah, I'm with you. I've spent a week trying to figure this out, and I was really hoping you guys were going to bring more to the table. I gotta say, I'm not angry. I'm just a little disappointed.
I have well,
thanks,
and you know,
Dad.
That feeling is similar to my feeling about this fight, which is like, thinking about it makes me feel a little weary and like a little disappointed in the world. And I think ultimately that's probably how Wonder Woman would feel too. I don't feel like she fights for no reason. We've long established in these tournaments that by whatever means necessary, we convince the combatants that they must fight. Otherwise, they're done for. I don't know. Somehow we do it. But I feel like, when it comes to a battle like this, like, Gamora is definitely not inherently evil, though she has done lots of evil things. I think if there were to be a series of encounters in the comics, some crossover event, there would be lots of times when Wonder Woman and Gamora might fight. But in the characters we saw in the movies, like, Gamora's had her redemption, multiple arcs of redemption. I think Wonder Woman would not have any real reason to want to defeat her. And I think that just makes this battle one of just wearing each other down. Mm-hmm. And I think that Wonder Woman still comes out on top, but it's just like kind of sad. Like, I don't think she feels good about it.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you there. I think what it might come down to is not Wonder Woman's refusal to fight that does it, but her realization of maybe both their realizations that this could go on forever. And Diana Prince has forever. She's all but immortal. And Gamora will die of old age at some point.
I don't know. Like, I kind of almost want to imagine that they just fight for like 60 years until, you know.
Neither one of them will give up, especially when, as Marty said, they have just accepted that they have to fight. But I can't, for the life of me, I can't imagine a scenario where Wonder Woman does not win this fight. She flies her up to the vacuum of space. That's one. She outlives her. That's two.
Yeah, she
ties her up with the lariat.
They end up on a mountain. They end up on a mountain and she falls.
Lariat.
She falls off.
I've been well trained.
But yeah, Gamora, like, they somehow get to a tall building or a mountain and Gamora falls off of it. That's also.
God damn it. Look, we don't know. She can survive a long fall. Just like that fall was especially long and deadly.
What was more deadly about it than any other long fall?
We don't know where the bottom was. Speaking of bottoms, I have this ass eating theory.
What?
What a segue.
Go. We're listening.
I don't have an ass eating theory. I was really trying to come up with one where eating ass was going to factor into this fight. I can't come up with one. I mean, it's happening in my head. I just don't think anyone, but everyone wins.
I feel honestly. Like, I mean, since we're here, Wonder Woman would do it. Gamora wouldn't. Don't know why. That's my instinct.
We know their personalities enough.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Probably
like,
true.
Yeah. Because Wonder Woman wants to make mankind, you know, wants to make all, like, humans on Earth happy and is all about love. And Gamora is out for herself.
Sometimes well, maybe, that's just the oh, kind of ahead, personality Lauren. You need. No, you go, please. I'm making another butt joke.
Then maybe to steal a page from a book that Molly wrote in a previous episode and then everyone threw into space. Maybe the secret here is that Wonder Woman always actually fights. Her superpower is love. And maybe she helps Gamora find out why she's really fighting, why she's gone through all these trials, and unlocks whatever that thing is that makes her a little girl whenever she's around Thanos, this horrible abuser of a person, and makes her whole again. And then she doesn't have to fight. And that's it.
I mean, that's a theory. I'm going to go with she punches Gamora into the sun. They're different takes. I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong, but I just think that they're equally possible. That's and then she goes back to her Themyscira and eats some ass, apparently, according to Lars's logic.
This is all dog shit, what just happened here. You know, if I said some shit, Marty, about someone's power being love, do you know how hard I would be taking a piss on by these two West Coast sons of bitches?
Did you hear? I and dismissed
just,
Marty.
We'll just shrug. We're going to shrug that off and do the sun punch thing. And get, they would still be berating me 5 minutes from now. Love. They'd be making jerk off motions the whole time. No, that doesn't even make the podcast. They just do that for me, apparently.
Lars, you're such a crybaby.
And then I make whiny noises.
We didn't even antagonize you, and you're whining about not being antagonized.
Like, yeah.
Do you understand what's happening right now?
I am whining about Marty not being antagonized.
I love that I dismissed Marty's. It's not like I was like, good point,
you
Marty.
You didn't dismiss it hard enough. This is my point.
I feel like I got let off easy, I think, is what Lars is saying.
Well, you're a guest on this show, and it's the only podcast you do anymore. So I really. Is that what you want? I'm not like, why does everyone want me to be a
Thanks,
dick?
Thanks, Lars.
Yeah.
Was that what you wanted?
You know what? Here's what happened, Marty, is I realized quite long ago that Joel will never stop taking a shit on me, so I'm making him take a shit on everyone else equally.
Is that socialism? Is that what you just described?
I think so. That's trickle-down economics.
It is. Everyone gets an equal opportunity to fail. I'm with you. I think what it came down to for me was the fact that Gamora is an organic being, and Wonder Woman, just if she is, there's very little of her that is, and that ultimately leads to her, in whatever fashion, leads to her walking away from this the victor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Victoria.
Why?
That was well.
Because the famous Broadway play that broke down gender barriers, Victor Victoria.
Yeah, it wasn't Victory Victoria.
Oh, my bad. I said Victor is what I said.
I got it now. That's on me. I was too stung by the only podcast bit.
That's all. I just want you to know that I didn't want to do that, Marty. I was backed into a corner and forced to say the meanest thing I could think of.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one way to get the Soul Stone, you know.
Oh, shit.
You gotta burn a bridge.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was Marty looking up at me going like, oh, we finally got you. There's nothing that you love. And I'm like, oh, Marty, as I shove you off.
Oh, no, he's falling.
Oh, that was good. That was Hans Gruber-esque. I wish everyone in our audience could have seen that. Like, that was very cinematic.
It'd be great, because I saw Marty slow motion mouth the word why. I would have loved it. I would love it if Hans Gruber had done that. Why?
I also, okay, so.
For those reasons.
Hans.
Oh, it's like that Sideshow Bob episode where they do the Few Good Men parody where he's like, I'm being arrested? Why? Oh, right. All that stuff I did. but speaking of that, since it's Wonder Woman, right? Did we agree it's Wonder Woman? I don't want to. Yeah. Okay. So Wonder Woman. Congrats, Wonder Woman, for winning.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you did it. You punched through the patriarchy like in that GIF. So I just want to hear at the end, since we mentioned Hans Gruber, that makes me think of all diehards. So then I obviously think of Jeremy Irons. And I watched the trailer for the new Lion King. Live action, because you can just say the word live action if it's nothing but CGI animals. That's apparently allowed. It's live action in that, you know, these are real lions. What the fuck does that word even mean in this context?
I like to think that our definition of live action has shifted so that it's like, would this fool a toddler?
Okay.
Apparently, these keys are live action.
Numerous. Almost
all. Well, the keys
are
live action.
Yeah. But they could be CGI keys. Shut up. Anyway, shut up, Lars. Is that what you want from me? Idiot. No, but so I was watching the trailer, and it's a movie that's coming out for sure. But they have the line, and it's. It's a line I remember in my childhood brain from watching. This is a horribly traumatic movie that is not appropriate for children that we all watched when we were young, where Scar looks at Simba in the eyes. And in that movie, it's Jeremy Irons. And he says, you know, run, Simba, run away and never come back. And like Jeremy Irons loves eating all the scenery he can fit into his mouth in a scene. And I like, it always stuck with me the way he delivers that. And likewise in Die Hard with a Vengeance, somebody had fun. Like Jeremy Irons is the best. It's Chiwetel Ejiofor in this movie, which should be amazing, but he made the mistake of being an understated actor in the clip that I saw. And it really disappointed me because he's like, run, Simba, and never come back. And I'm like, I don't know, that's probably dramatic, but you really need, for the character of Scar from The Lion King, I don't think subtlety is the way to go. Like, we need the guy who's way over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, especially when you don't have the advantage of seeing his face.
Yeah, it just...
You're just looking at a CGI lion.
I had to look it up because... And I love Chiwetel Ejiofor, one of my favorite actors of all time, one of my favorite villains of all time in the movie Serenity. But
yeah.
I was so underwhelmed by the Scar line delivery that I had to look up on IMDb who it was, and was disappointed to see that it was him. Like, it broke my heart a little bit.
Drag.
Yeah.
Drag.
What do you think his songs will be like if they don't have him being, like, super bombastic?
I don't know, but also...
Is it the music as well?
Yeah, I believe so. Like, I think
oh,
so.
Oh, boy.
But I also, I'm, like, you, have we ever, we talked about that on the show before, right? That apparently Jeremy Irons never actually sang that song.
Interesting.
Is that true? Yeah, it's true. It's, I think, now this I could be wrong about who it is. I want to say it's the guy who, like, voices, is it Fred Welker? Is that the guy's name? He does a ton of, like, voice acting stuff. But basically, Jeremy Irons couldn't actually sing the songs, yeah. And it's someone doing a Jeremy Irons impression is actually what they used.
It is Welker. Welker is actually the he is the highest grossing actor in movie history because he has done all of the voices. He is also he was the Cave of Wonders.
Our Frank Welker. We're saying Fred, but it's.
Yep.
Frank.
He's now been the Cave of Wonders twice. He has been all in but one iteration. He has been Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to say his IMDb page lists him as known for Transformers, Dark of the Moon, Age of Extinction, and The Last Knight, which is cruel to the people on IMDb. Do not put those first.
Right. Look up how many roles he has. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow. He was in the 1984 Transformers movie.
Because he's always been Megatron. I think he has over 800 credits listed on his IMDb. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, he was going to be a person you should know, but we haven't had that segment in quite some time.
But yeah.
He will be playing Scooby-Doo in an upcoming 2020 movie called Scoob.
It's like cooler edging it down.
Wow.
They're reducing it to its purest form.
It's finally from the one character perspective we've always wanted to know what the hell's going on in Shaggy's mind.
I'm just trying to verify if it is him, but I remember hearing that it was like Jeremy Irons couldn't sing it, and so they just like brought someone else in to sing it for him. I know that is true, and I just don't remember if it's Frank Welker or not.
Fair enough.
This isn't riveting radio. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. So those Chitawal Ejiofor seems underwhelming. I'm excited for Donald Glover to play Simba because it seems good casting for when he goes like, I want to be king, but I don't.
It's good. I just can't wait, but I can.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's going to be better than Aladdin.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
That's probably true. But yeah, who would have been, you know, a better... Is there someone else that would have been a better Scar?
Jeremy Irons is alive.
That's true. But I think they're trying to do more, like, people of color to make up for the fact that, like... It was, you know, James Earl Jones was the dad and then Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Matthew Broderick voiced Simba.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. They are. OK, fair enough. Yeah. OK, so a better. Yeah. Fucking Sam Jackson.
Oh, it was also. So it was Jim Cummings. who
sang
who he because he does a ton of voice acting, too. He voiced Ed in The Lion King. And apparently, I guess he can do a Jeremy Irons impression. So he was already there, and they brought him in to sing the parts.
So he sang Be Prepared?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well.
Be prepared.
Well, I feel sad and wrung out by that whole confrontation.
Well, then it must be another one in the books. If we all don't feel good about it, we wonder why we spent a month.
Was this Hobo Radio challenge like a good one? Did the world become a better place by making all of these women fighters fight each other to the death?
You know, it's funny because I feel like 6 years ago when we first started this tournament, it felt like we were doing it to be empowering, but it is very easy to poke a hole in that argument and just be like, I don't know, you made a bunch of women fight each other. I don't know how. And three dudes and Molly litigated who won. So I don't know how empowering any of this was.
I mean, we spent several weeks talking about how powerful and awesome these women characters are. right? I mean, we've pit monsters against each other, men against each other, men against women, men against monsters. Like, in these tournaments, people are just fighting each other, often to the death. We do not discriminate.
Well, I think now that you, me, and Marty all weighed in on whether it was feminist or not, then we can end the conversation. No, Molly, please talk.
Oh, no, man. Not everything has to be ultra empowering. Sometimes things can just be fun. It's fun. Like, that's my sincere opinion. It's not the best look, but like, it's fun. They're fictional characters. Like, we're fine.
I love it.
Yeah.
What about Bill Duke?
What?
Bill Duke would be a good Scar, right?
Who's Bill Duke?
Bill Duke from Predator and Commando. Oh. He directed Sister Act 2 back in The Habit.
I did not know that about Bill Duke.
Yeah, Bill Duke directed Sister Act 2.
Oh, Bill Duke. Okay, now I'm looking at a picture of Bill Duke. Sure. But also, because you said Predator while I was looking him up, Carl Weathers? How about Carl Weathers?
Oh, Carl Weathers, that'd be so great. Oh, my God. Hey, Simba, you know a good idea is take this ham bone, throw it in some hot water.
With some hyenas. And baby, you got a stew.
You got
also,
a stew, baby.
Elephant bone. Come on.
Oh, man. No, Carl Weathers would be great.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could even use dolphin bone. That's my favorite website.
Well, okay. Clearly, Lars has some Googling to do, so I think it's that's our signal.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. I got some Googling to do. Marty, you can stay on my camera, please.
Never again, Lars.
Fool me once.
Indulged you once.
That time, he was just waiting for you to introduce him, so he was just politely not saying anything.
I was like, hello again?
No, I promise. We scheduled a show
Dolphin
with Joel.
Bone.
He'll be here any moment. Ignore those background E's.
Are you sure Joel's coming? Oh, I can't say that out loud.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Joel's coming, but...
Very uncomfortable. Great.
What did you think... No, you know what? I was going to ask how you thought eating ass would help us litigate a winner, but we're out of time.
Here's the thing. We were kind of at a junction. I didn't think it would hurt to just... Much like salad tossing, to just explore the area. You just explore the area. That's what you do in all cases.
These gestures.
This is exploring the, you know, explore the area.
Oh, don't move
really close to the camera.
It was just my pinky.
Very
Come
evocative.
On,
okay, I'm emailing SeaWorld. Just preemptively warn
it's
them.
Just the letter C.
Oh my God. Great. So remember, question everything.
I feel like I got off message there at the end. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Or on message.
Bye.
I am already prickly. I have put my spines up.
Gizlaros? Oh, God.
That was terrible. I'm out.
I woke up like 5 minutes ago, and Joel was like, so you know you were recording, right? I was like, oh, fuck.
Let me get my coffee suppository.
What?
I didn't even get coffee.
Let alone in butt form.
Dissolve faster, damn it.
Which, as we all know, is the bougiest form.
Hobo Radio is a production of HoboTrashCan.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on iTunes. Hear more great shows on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network, like this one.
We Have to Ask. It's a podcast where we answer the question, are you going to eat that?
What will you leave behind?
Why get out of bed?
Will you be our neighbor?
I'm Marty.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're two hosts.
Infinite Universes.
We have to ask.
New interviews every Tuesday.
Find us on iTunes or online at wehavetoask.com or with the other great podcasts on the Peak Sloth Network at peaksloth.com.